Coming up in this podcast, housing affordability, privatisation and infrastructure, mining projects, distilleries, the Black Monday anniversary, and our special report on ICT, looking at cloud computing, big data and the Internet of Things.
Welcome to Mark My Words, the weekly podcast from Business News, with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer discussing the important business news and data stories from Western Australia.
Welcome to our weekly podcast. Housing affordability in WA is the best it's been in 10 years, Mark. What's the data you have?
Yeah, look, some good numbers have come out during the week. In fact, there were two reports, one from Moody's and one from the Housing Industry Association, both coming to the same conclusion. Look, you know, one of the great attributes of Perth was always how affordable housing was here. Yeah. We always looked over east and said, how could anyone possibly afford those prices? Well, as a result of the fact that housing prices have actually tapered off in Perth in recent years, plus low interest rates, plus some growth in incomes, put all those variables together, and yeah, best result in 10 years. So the calculations by Moody's, they tell us that two-income household buying a property at median value needs to spend about 19% of their income on loan repayments. Compare that to Melbourne, 24%. Sydney, 36%.
Ouch.
Now, that's for houses and apartments. If you want to buy a house, the difference is even more stark. So in Perth, it's 20%. I think that reflects the fact that most people here live in houses anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You want to buy a house in Melbourne, median price, two-income household, you've got to spend 35% of your income on loan repayments. Sydney, 41%. So,
brutal.
We're looking pretty good over here in that context.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, your kind of basic housing cost, once you get up to that 35 plus, that's a challenge for any income earner. Again, it's all this, everything's back to 2007. It's kind of like a repeat kind of line out there, isn't it? That, you know, there's so much of WA has come back to that level.
Yep. And I think looking at the housing market, it's a bit like the economy. People are keen to see some growth come back. It'd be nice to get a bit of capital growth in property values here, but nobody wants to get back to crazy boom time
No.
where everything got out of hand and became so unaffordable as it was there for a while.
Yeah. Now, Mark, the new state government, and speaking of affordability, the new state government uttered the privatisation word when the Liberals blocked the gold royalty changes. Could Landgate be on the block?
Yeah, look, there were a few interesting developments on that front. One thing that has got through, the gold royalties, as you say, that was blocked by the Liberals, but they came out and said that they will allow the increase in payroll tax for mid to large businesses. That will go through. But despite that, the Premier and his Treasurer are both saying things are tough, we need to find money from somewhere. And one of the possibilities that they've acknowledged is privatisation of Landgate. So it's the land registry business. State governments in New South Wales and South Australia have both privatised those businesses, both raised about $1.6 billion. So it's a tempting asset. Mm. It's quite a commercial operation. There have been lots of changes out at Landgate. They've automated a lot. And in fact, they've got a technology business that is now involved in helping to run the New South Wales land registry, and they're hoping to commercialise that. Now, the government hasn't done a lot of work on this, so it's not as though they've appointed sale advisors. There'd be a lot of work to be done. But it is interesting that they're prepared to countenance that after the state election, where, you know, opposition to Western Power being privatised was such a core element. Now, the Chamber of Commerce and Industry came out. They were very supportive of the possible privatisation, but I thought they had an interesting perspective. They were saying, look, this opens up the opportunity for what they call capital recycling. You sell off one asset, it gives you the capacity to reinvest in new infrastructure. And they're making the point that while there's a lot of talk about the Metronet rail project, which is Labor's signature project, they're saying that beyond that, there isn't a lot coming up in Western Australia. You know, there are some. The Water Corporation announced a big contract during the week, which went to a Clough joint venture. for their groundwater replenishment scheme. But the CCI is saying we need more infrastructure projects for the good of the state and for the economic stimulus that it provides. And privatisation is one way of helping us get there.
Yeah, well, and of course that ignores the issue out there, which is the debt, which you want to sell some assets to bring the debt down, which is arguably would have been nice if we didn't have quite the debt position. Then we could spend money, much more money, on all these projects that you need to happen in a downturn. Now, Mark, speaking of projects, there's been quite a bit of activity in mining projects. Can you give us a recap?
Yeah, look, I think it's just worth a quick run through about some good news just in the past week. Newcrest announced they're going to invest $93 million up at their Telfer gold mine. Sheffield Resources, they've got a big mineral sands project up in the Kimberley. They locked in about $250 million of debt funding. Gascoigne Resources has got the Dalgaranga gold project. That's rolling along. They awarded a mining contract to NRW. Tawana Resources, they've locked in some funding this week, so they're all systems go for their lithium project. Mm. So just in the space of 1 week, you know, some really significant developments, and just sort of builds on this picture that we've been talking about, where there's some real activity coming back into the mining space.
And I note that Newcrest, Telfer, they were on the front foot with the gold royalty changes, saying, hey, we're not going to do stuff unless you hold off. You don't know, do you, whether they would have committed or not, but, you know, it sounds like they were pretty ready to go then.
That's right, yep. And I'll also mention as well, Tawana is one of about 10 lithium projects here in Western Australia. So it's worth recapping, I think. We mentioned last week, Matt McKenzie had done some really good research. He'd looked at the value of all those lithium projects, and our estimate is that in 2 to 3 years' time, we're going to be exporting about $4.5 billion worth of lithium every year. So this is a, you know, huge new industry for Western Australia. Mm. And it's people like Tianqi Lithium, Pilbara Minerals, Altura, and Tawana. There's a whole bunch of them out there. So that's a really encouraging sign.
Yeah, and look, a side note to that, Tianqi, you know, putting itself out there beyond mining and beyond lithium, back the museum, the foundation of the Museum of WA with quite a big lump.
$5 million.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, they're starting to have an impact beyond just doing projects, which is kind of what you need. Now, Mark, you know, bit of a different one here. Whiskey maker Lime Burners, well, at least that's the brand, had some significant success recently as one of several distilleries that are flourishing in the local market.
There's an annual publication put out by a guy named Jim Murray. So if you're a whiskey aficionado, you might know about Jim. And he rates the best whiskies in the world. And the good news for Lime Burners, their Darkest Winter whiskey was rated as the best in the Southern Hemisphere. So the folks down at Albany, where Lime Burners was established and is run from, they'd be very excited, I imagine,
yeah,
to get that sort of accolade.
You must have a bottle of that hanging around, do you? I had a quick look on the website there. $320 you can buy a bottle.
I might have a birthday coming up. I enjoy a whiskey. I've not yet had the pleasure of trying that one.
The Darkest Winter. No, yeah. Look, there's been quite a bit of activity in that zone. I think there were some distilleries around in the 90s, a few, not many that I was particularly familiar with, but when these guys started up in the 2004, 2005... they seem to kick off a whole burst of activity, which has really changed the market a bit, do you think?
Yeah, well, in fact, there's sufficient distilleries here in Western Australia that we've created our own list. So people can go onto our website, look at the BNIQ search engine, and we've got more than a dozen distilleries here in Western Australia. All the details there on our website.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like craft brewing. You know, it's a growing up bit by bit to become a very substantial industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, adds real sort of diversity to the choices that we've got. And nice to see something really different like that prospering here.
Yeah, good for the locals, good for tourists. And they're not just, you know, popping up and existing. They're like Lime Burners winning awards. And I think West Winds Gin, from recollection, have won some awards as well. Not sure some of the others as well. But anyway, fantastic to see that diversity, like you mentioned. Now, Mark, a little bit of reminiscing, I think, is in order. It was the anniversary of Black Monday this week. You have to be of a certain age to remember that event 30 years ago. So where were you?
I was in Sydney. I was a young journalist with the Financial Review, and I was at a training course with one of the big banks. Now, my round in those days was very much around banking, foreign exchange, money markets, and I had a pretty good knowledge of that. But the stock market was something I'd never really looked closely at. And there we were, and we were all getting updates through the course of the day. We didn't have our live screens as we would these days. But it was absolutely staggering to see the reactions around the room, and people were recognising the significance of this day, the amount of value that was lost in the space of one day.
Absolutely.
And Perth was really one of the places that was most affected.
Oh, totally. And, you know, reminiscing, I was still studying at that point, but I had opted to drop out of full-time study, and I had taken up a career in what you would call a finance broker in West Perth. They did a bit of wheeling and dealing, and they had a little bit of a brokerage going as well. And I was going to, you know, study part-time. And I'd only been there a couple of weeks. And Black Monday came along. I guess that was Tuesday in reality here. And I still remember there were three directors, and one of them, he was the younger of the group, and he was the guy that had got me in there. And I remember sitting there, and he lost $40,000 on paper in just a few minutes, and he was just calling out the numbers as his stocks went down. It was pretty shocking. So it was hammering me pretty hard as to what this was all about.
And led to a career change on your part.
Absolutely. They came to me 2 days later and said, "Mark, we just don't have this position for you anymore. The future's looking pretty bleak for them," and they had to cut their costs. And I will add, they sponsored the South Perth Cricket Club, and Robin Smith, who was a test level player, was on their books, as you know, they'd promised to give him a job as a sponsorship, and they felt they had to commit to that. So it was him or me. So I lost out to a test cricketer, which made me think, am I in the right business here? And I started to think of my options. So I went back to study commerce full time, but I started looking at, did I really want to get into that world? And ended up being in journalism. So, you know, no looking back, hey?
But also worth noting, you know, Alan Bond, Robert Holmes of Court, Laurie Connell, these are the names that keep on coming up.
They do.
They were the big players in Perth.
Disturbingly so. And, you know, that from that period where they all got caught, you know, I think WA suffered for more than 10 years from a sort of a hangover that, you know, that kind of cowboy culture that the rest of the country felt, you know, that we had over here. Now, Mark, very different subject, although, you know, thinking 30 years ago, the technology that you mentioned didn't have a lot of things. Technology today is very different. Our special report this week is on ICT, and you're looking at cloud computing, big data and the Internet of Things, and presumably any other buzzwords we need to know about.
Well, yeah, look, one of my goals was to actually look at those buzz phrases and say, well, what is this and what does it really mean for mainstream businesses in Western Australia? So, you know, something like the Internet of Things. The estimate is that within 2 to 3 years, there will be 20 billion connected devices around the world. That's about three times the current level. So this is everything from the little sensors that can sit in a process plant or on a railway track, right through to applications being developed now. Might be in a commercial kitchen, might be on a rubbish bin. And so talking to people in the industry, you know, some firms like Velrada and Cirrus and Zeta Group, they're working with people in this space, and they're seeing the technology develop remarkably rapidly, and the opportunities are growing very rapidly off the back of that. One of the other buzz phrases is agile development. So it's this sense that instead of doing the big IT project, which takes a lot of time and a lot of money, you do lots of little things along the way, and the new technology lends itself to that. Mm. So it's pretty cheap and easy to put a sensor on just about anything that moves or anything that operates.
You got one on you?
And then you can... Well, many people have the Fitbit.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not for me, though. Then you can gather data from that. Then you can analyse that data. And then you can look at opportunities to improve your business. And of course, this all then ties back into cloud computing, which gives people far more computing power. It's readily available. You can access it as a service. You pay a monthly fee. So you know, the world is changing very rapidly. There are endless opportunities out there. So it was really interesting to explore a lot of that. Now, one of the challenges that comes out of this is ensuring that people have the skills and ability to actually utilise all this new technology, which leads into something very interesting announced on Friday. Rio Tinto is partnering with the TAFE colleges here in Perth. First time this has ever been done, and they're putting $2 million into new training programs and helping the TAFE colleges develop new curriculum. And it's in particular around these things like digital computing and big data and analytics. Because you know, they're a mining company, but they've been at the forefront of a lot of these trends. And we all know about the automated trains and the automated dump trucks. You know, these are two of just the well-known examples. So I just thought that was a really encouraging sign where industry and the government TAFE system are sitting down together, developing a curriculum together, co-funded. So, I think that's what we need, and hopefully that's going to work out really well.
Yeah, and we have some unique challenges here in WA, of course. I mean, automation and some of those things have existed in some industries for eons, car industry, car manufacturing. But, WA and its remote operations and mining and the way you logistically move around is fascinating. And oil and gas as well. I think Woodside are a bit of a leader in that front. They're implementing AI into what they're doing. They've got all sorts of big data crunching that hasn't been done before, using cognitive learning and all that. So, it is fascinating to see these big mining companies considered, kind of like sort of Neolithic man by comparison to car manufacturers, are right there at the forefront in some way. So it's brilliant. We're busily putting together, speaking of data, the data for our 2018 Book of Lists, the original printed version of the data that was the origin of our BNIQ search engine. We've got 50 different industry lists, and the book is used as a guide by thousands of subscribers. Do you want to own a category in that book? If you want to talk to us about advertising for a product that is used all year round, please call us at Business News and ask to talk about the Book of Lists.
Thanks for listening to Mark My Words with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer from Business News. For more information, please go to businessnews.com.au/podcasts. And to receive these regularly, search for Business News WA in iTunes or SoundCloud.